So we see basically the metaverse as the evolution of the internet. The metaverse is there to enhance our daily lives by the use of technology.
Why would, let's say, government institution wanna have their own metaverse?
They're basically spending approximately, I think, 20 to 25 million in overheads. This is a solution that we can offer. We can offer you a virtual showroom.
Zoom is not enough.
Zoom is not enough. I mean, you don't have all the interactive tools. You can always say there is different tools out there, but nothing that really puts everything together. By nature, we want something dynamic. We want something engaging. We want something interactive. The sentence that we hear, it's so refreshing to see a deep tech company coming out of this region.
Yes, metaverse is still happening. And you can challenge me with a statement when every second headline is about artificial intelligence. But this, trust me, it matters. Especially when Dubai government launched Dubai Metaverse strategy to become top 10 economies in metaverse by 2030. Today I'm in DFC meeting Shafra startup. I'm gonna ask questions like, what is a digital twin? What is a virtual generated avatar? Let's go and check her out and have a nice conversation.
Hey, Alfred.
Hey, Evan. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too.
Tell me, metaverse is dead or not?
Oh, it's been a hype. But I mean, a hype, internet was a hype. And internet is quite alive, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we see basically the metaverse as the evolution of the internet. I mean, it's the next phase. I mean, we are, by nature, we want something dynamic. We want something engaging. We want something interactive. Look at the internet, how it came at first. It was quite static.
Yeah.
It was one page, information being put from time to time. Then it moved to the next phase, internet web 2, let's say.
In the beginning, only for limited people.
Like, yeah, very limited people. I don't know if you remember, like beginning 2000, end of the 90s, we were waiting, I mean, every day or every week for a new web page to come up, some pictures to come up, some news articles to come up, but you couldn't do much other than read. So it was a newspaper.
Yeah.
Then web 2 came, so with the Facebook, eventually Twitter and all those platforms, the social media platform, where it became much more engaging for users. But still, the user didn't control what they were seeing. I mean, we're pretty much fed what the corporates want us to see. Yes, on social media, you kind of decide what you want to post, what you want to read, but the algorithm of those social media decide what you end up seeing. But still, if you talk about the business aspects of things, today is still very static. I mean, you can go on a business site. I mean, you need to dig in and try to figure out what is the information you need. So here's when the metaverse come into play. It's more of a dynamic way of approaching the internet. Web3 is something else. We see as Web3. So Web3 basically is kind of the decentralization of the internet. Metaverse is kind of the enabler of decentralization in a way or another. Now there is a big talks of AI. So that's why now everybody's saying, is the metaverse dead?
Yeah, exactly.
We went through a period. But what can enable really AI? I mean, you need a tool, you need a platform, you need a way of engaging with AI. And as well, we believe that the metaverse is a way of engaging with all those emerging tech that are coming today. So
we'll go together,
the metaverse isn't dead.
Okay, that's the answer, yeah. So, yeah. What's your company? What do you guys do?
So we are Shafra. Shafra, we started at 3 university friends during COVID, as everybody, we were quite bored, working from home, trying to figure out, okay, we have our current jobs, pretty stable, but I mean, what can we do more? So we started talking. Our first idea was a crypto exchange. That's how we started. So that's the meaning, actually. Shafra in Arabic means code.
Okay.
So it fits pretty well as well, the metaverse, because it's quite cryptic. Nobody understands it yet. So that's in a way how Shafra started, as a metaverse, as a service company.
Okay, so started as a crypto exchange and then find a need, but need a space?
The space. Yeah. Space is a metaverse, a virtual reality, an immersive world.
Yeah.
For us, the metaverse is a means to dynamically engage with your employees, with your people, with the world. And in a way, it will not replace reality. And that's very important. We don't see, so for example, Ready Player One, I don't know if you've seen the movie, which like is a crazy world where everybody is in his VR headset, nobody moves.
Isolated life.
So we don't see it like that. We see it really, it would enhance our daily lives by the use of technology. So in this sense, we see many emerging tech, as I was just mentioning, being part of the metaverse. So AI, artificial intelligence, augmented reality as well, will be a big part of the metaverse. Virtual reality is part of the metaverse. Now, in terms of Shafra, we're very business focused. And we believe adoption can only grow with business and industry specific use cases. I mean, us being in the UAE or in the GCC, you know, we're a very business driven society. So that's why we figured, okay, how can we increase adoption in the GCC or in the MENA region? There are solutions out there like Decentraland, The Sandbox, Spatial.io, to name a few. But they're not very focused on the business use cases. They're mainly focused on the social aspect,
the consumer
aspect of things. So what we've seen as a trend is that many businesses in the region, especially that they have big budgets to innovate, have targets, okay, look, we want to have a metaverse presence. But beyond brand recognition, I mean, there's not much use cases in those present metaverse presence that are out there. And I believe the hype was slowly falling back, or people are saying, is the metaverse dying? Was because of those approaches. Yeah. Those approaches really don't touch on anything. I mean, okay, you have a metaverse presence, but what as a business do you benefit? I mean, other than a marketing scheme, let's say.
Yeah.
Not much. Then think about government use cases. Think about corporate use cases in terms of workplace implementation. Nowadays, especially that there is either the hybrid work systems or the remote work systems. How can you engage better with your employees other than the Zoom or the Google Meet or all those other platforms? So we believe most people would want to access any environment on a web browser, similar to how do you go to any website, you put a URL and you just join the website. Now the problem in that, in the current technologies, is it's very limited in terms of visuals, how immersive and how beautiful your environment can be.
You mean if you go on the screen?
If you're creating a platform that is purely web-based.
Yeah.
Today we are leveraging, I mean, not to go too technical, we're leveraging WebGL, which is the current technology. Now there is a just new release that came out, which is WebGPU. Mm-hmm. So WebGPU, just to put it in brief, it will directly target your GPU and take the power of your computer's GPU.
So it's like
GPU.
Technology you're talking about.
It's a new technology, exactly. So we expect in the coming, let's say, 3-4 months, to have graphics very close to the graphics of a PS4 or 5, let's say, on the web browser.
Mm.
And the web browser is really important.
So with any laptop, basically?
Any laptop that would. I mean, we're leveraging now 5-year-old laptops. That's our target for now. So that's in terms of friction to access. Secondly is the hosting. We target a lot of government and large corporates. And governments and large corporates have a requirement or a desire to be able to host it either within their platforms, within their environments, which normally are local environments. So let's say the government of the UAE would want to host it on Microsoft Azure in the UAE. They will not accept to host any presence in somewhere else. Same are with large corporates as well.
Okay, so...
And I mean, look, I can't talk so much. I think we have so much to discuss.
So why would, let's say, I don't know, government institution wanna have their own metaverse? What was the reason? So what are you solving? Yeah?
So maybe the best way to answer that is to go through a couple of use cases that we've been building for, without necessarily naming the government entities. So today you have two parts of government service. So you have a part that touches upon the citizen and the resident, mm-hmm. where let's say you need to access a certain government service, be it from real estate to economic related issues, to tourism, all types of departments, or to the police systems. So you need to, how would you do it? Either you call.
Or go online.
Or go online. To figure out usually what you need to do or to fill out as forms or to submit as forms. I don't know, have you tried? It's usually very messy.
Well, you need to navigate, yeah.
Yeah,
you menus need to, until you find what you
want. And maybe for. You don't
sometimes
find
you don't know. Sometimes then what you need.
You need to call somebody to try to figure out what you need to do.
Yes.
So if you go back to what we were discussing before, so the evolution of the internet, where we're basically creating a more dynamic and interactive internet as an evolution for the internet. So instead of entering a website, you would still be entering a website part of the government services, but entering their world, let's say. So you, from taking an experience that's challenging and time consuming, you're making it much more engaging, interesting, and easy.
So you create basically a virtual customer service office.
Exactly.
Something I see you also have, VR glasses?
Yes.
Is it part of Syntex?
So,
or
no, that's ours. So, as I mentioned, so one of the points is the friction to access. The other point that we're looking at is to be very device agnostic. So device agnostic, we don't want to refrain anybody to access their world. Depending on the devices they use. So imagine you're joining on the VR, I'm joining on my laptop or my computer, and somebody else is joining on their mobile. Of course, experiences will be slightly different.
Or if I don't have VR set.
Or if you don't have, you'll be on your laptop or mobile or anyway, but it'll all be interconnected. Maybe let me show you some, like a part of our open world. It's a demo world, since we are not, just to reiterate, we're a metaverse as a service and we're an API first engine. So we are in essence a deep tech company. We're not creating our own world. I mean, that would be one of our visions going forward, and I'll take you through our roadmap, mm-hmm. let's say. But we are a tech first company. So we are basically the infrastructure for companies to have a metaverse presence.
So you don't own the space, you create dedicated one, or like how?
Yeah, so ultimately, let's say you're a company, you want to create your own metaverse.
Yeah.
We will provide you the service to create a metaverse using our engine. And you are basically subscribing to using our engine in a way or another.
Okay.
Let me give you, let's have a look.
So you guys based in FinTech?
So no. Over here, we are in the DIFC right now. So we're part of the DIFC Innovation Hub.
Mm.
And the DIFC Innovation Hub, alongside the FinTech Hive, have a common space. So we are actually here at the event space.
Mm-hmm.
So you would often see us, see myself working out of the co-working space or anywhere. I mean, we're a metaverse as a service company. Yeah. So wherever I feel to work, I'm there.
Yeah, so these co-working spaces, let's say innovation hubs, they want to attract startups like you?
Yes, definitely.
It's not only about, I don't know, fintech or everything.
No, but it's really a lot about technology.
Yeah.
And technology innovators. So the concept of the innovation hub is to subsidize kind of the license, the technology license for startups, and to support them in any way possible to evolve the Dubai ecosystem.
Yeah.
That's their ultimate goal.
Is it part of a Dubai metaverse strategy, you think?
Yes, I definitely think it's part of the Dubai metaverse strategy. That's a website you can see. It's like demo.shafra.com. I mean, anybody that can connect and try it on. Okay. Our goal is ultimately to keep on adding our different features over here. In the words of our CTO, the level of computing that's happening just on this scene right here with the lighting and the shades is more than a couple of PhDs that this is happening. It's all being rendered in real time. And this is what's impressive around it. So here we're integrating with DALL-E, an image generator tool. So I don't know, we'll try to...
Is it existing some kind of platform that you are...
Yeah, an AI. It's through OpenAI, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's say we'll say, imagine a man, an old man, under the rain in ultra-realistic format.
What did you just recorded that input or?
Yeah, it records basically my input and then let's see what it will generate. Yeah, so this is kind of an image that it generates. I mean, those are small experimental tools that we're trying out. So if you can see, so I'll invite him to a party and we'll be able to have some kind of conversation together. So we enable, let's say, screen sharing, video conferencing and whatnot. We'll wait for him to accept. Maybe he didn't see us yet.
So while we're waiting, it is
so
your demo or it's for actual customers?
So that's basically our demo.
So you can have option as well to have a camera.
Yeah, so we have options to screen share, to do many things. Mm-hmm. So screen sharing is basic systems that you would be able to do the
standard,
screen sharing.
Like using a web
yeah, standard screen sharing. We have certain... Oh, there is Nikita.
Hi, Nikita.
Hi, Nikita.
Hi.
So you are being displayed on a very big screen now.
Good to know that you are a real person.
Nikita is basically our creative director, helping us really come up with the strategy for our different clients, how to provide the metaverse strategy.
Nikita, in a few sentences, what's your daily job? What do you do?
So in general, we look at clients' brief and see how we can emphasize their products and create solutions that can solve their problems day-to-day, on a day-to-day basis, or you know, just like some bigger projects. Yeah, so a lot of different ideas because, you know, like in Vectors, you can basically come up with anything you want. So usually we just come up with visit you and sometimes quite crazy ideas and see what's interesting for our clients and then go from the moment trying to come up.
And where
with something in your life.
Where are you based?
I'm in Spain.
Okay.
So I'm a European.
Yeah.
Yeah, the part of the team.
Right.
Thank you, Nikita.
Thanks, Nikita.
Thank you.
Nice and quick, yeah.
So imagine here we have placeholders as different planets.
Yeah.
Imagine those planets as being different applications, different services, different fields, different departments.
Oh, like you're going to the planet, different
department. Yeah, different planet. Then you'll be able to modify and adjust all your visuals in your world according to what's the service that you want. You'll be able to discuss with certain avatars as well. It could be either AI-driven avatars or normal avatars that are working around like people like what we saw on...
Yeah.
Now, the avatars and all the 3D models and 3D assets are really placeholders. So, I mean, this is our way of visualizing it. But anybody can have a different creative approach.
I can be a dinosaur.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can go as crazy as you want. Maybe let me jump out of the world and show you certain AI tools that we are integrating to. Our goal basically is to be able to leverage different technologies that are out there. And that's why we're an API-first metaverse engine. So we can either connect and pull assets from different technologies, or for companies or governments, we can connect as well to their ERP or CRM system or HRM systems to basically make the experience for their customers and their employees as seamless as possible. I mean, here is a very known avatar creation tool, let's say. So maybe we'll go ahead, we'll create one of your avatars. It's not ours, it's an available platform, Ready Player Me.
Again, use case is, I'm joining...
This is purely visual, no?
Yeah.
So this has no particular use case. It's just to be able to be present.
But still, you I don't know, you want to represent yourself? Or
yeah, you want to have a unique self, let's say.
There is a reason
when
you're joining, I don't know, government institution meeting or something.
And as technology progresses, and we're seeing quite a lot of it, and we expect within the next year some new innovations to come up, in terms of you would be able to represent yourself as an avatar. But imagine you're a corporate and you have different services and you want to save on customer service agents, or you want to make the experience with the customer, with the salespeople, more engaging. You don't want them to wait for a customer service agent to be there and available.
You mean not to be present online?
Yeah, not necessarily be present online. So in this sense, we can literally train an avatar or a character, an in-world NPC, if you want to call it this way, to know everything about the corporate. So we're experimenting with it, and we're actually expecting within the next week to have an avatar, one avatar for each of us three co-founders, walking around in our demo world.
In that space.
In that space that I just showed you. The avatars will be trained about our personal information, about Shafra's information.
Well, then Alfred.
About me. So, for example, the avatar would be, would know how many kids I have, where do I live. Maybe not to, I won't give it that, that much extent, specific, yeah. But I mean,
but if you want,
what's
you can.
But if you want, you can. Like, what, where am I from? Where I studied? What do I like? What are my hobbies? And about Shafra.
So you feed a lot of information.
Exactly, and you keep on training.
How does it training? What do you do?
For example, so of course you have as generative AI, ChatGPT. In our case, we're using in-world AI. You can basically create a common knowledge. So let's say for the coffee shop that we have, where basically we train, we input a lot of data into it about who is Shafra. So you feed the common knowledge. We actually signed the project with one of the telecoms companies in the GCC, where their ultimate goal is they have approximately 60 branches in one region of the country. They're basically spending approximately, I think, 20 to 25 million in overheads for those branches just as rental space.
To have a physical space.
Physical space. And that's not to talk about the staff that they need to service their clients. So we came to them, we told them, look, this is a solution that we can offer. We can offer you a virtual showroom that anybody can access from the ease of their home.
Okay.
They won't need, they're in a remote place, they don't need to travel, I don't know how long to reach there. They know what they want usually when they go to the showroom or to the shop.
Yeah.
Or so normally they would understand what are the services, but even if they don't know, we can guide them to what they want. And all this can be driven, sorry, just finish on this sentence, by AI. Because AI will know everything about this telecom company.
So basically then, like you showed that digital avatar that you're feeding with all information, it can become as a assistant.
An assistant.
Bot assistant.
Or a customer sales.
Without an actual live human behind.
Yeah, a customer sales representative. We're using it in a different way. And the last one, which is 11 labs, which we are training, not everybody would like that. It's kind of scary at the same time. But what we are doing is we're training our avatars to sound like us. So basically, they would sound like us, speak like us, act like us, and know our information.
While you're explaining, can I try
please
walk
go,
or something?
Go ahead. Now you notice the avatar is... So to walk is like in the game, it's WSAD.
Okay.
And you can move your camera. Normally I use it...
With the arrow keys, yeah?
No, you would use it with the mouse over
okay.
here. We'll train our avatars about who we are as persons, as founders. And we'll train them with our voices as well. So Al-Haris will sound like Al-Haris. Alfred will sound like Alfred. Mark will sound like Mark.
And walk like Alfred.
Exactly.
And think like Alfred.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds scary, but...
And eventually, I mean, the way we look at it, we'll eventually be able to have our sales pitches without being actually there, or our investment pitches without actually being there. So we can do, imagine, two pitches at the same time without actually being...
But then avatar's going to pitch for other avatars.
Avatars, yeah, probably.
And then make a decision, and end of the day, we got a deal.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, look, the future is quite interesting and the possibilities that are out there.
Who's this guy?
So that's supposed to be me. I'm going to be the one that explains about the jukebox. So it would be, so here you see a jukebox. It's another experimental tool that we're trying. So basically, you would be able to create any AI-generated music, and each music is one-of-one music.
Look, like I said, Evomotion Studios, we doing clients' video edits, and we need music.
Yeah.
So I can create.
You can create. I don't know now with the sound how it will be, but let's try. Yeah, let's give it a try.
Okay. So. Of course, Euphoric. That's usually with UAE government projects.
Euphoric, mysterious. You can put. I mean, I think the possibilities are literally limitless. Imagine how many you can choose of moods, genres, and themes, and all combined.
Okay, dreamy, and then what? Generate song.
You can, let's say generate. AI now is computing, and then you should see, I mean, now you don't see the avatar, but you should see at some point the avatar dancing and...
According to that.
Yeah. According to the music somewhat.
All right, well, it definitely could work for our studio.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, that's not our solution. We're integrating with AI, a company that is generating AI music. Again, so we want to focus a lot on what our core capabilities are. And our core capabilities are the technology behind running a metaverse and enabling accessibility to all. But so, yeah, eventually, so this avatar will be moving. Will be walking around, will be dancing, you'll be able to interact and talk with him. I mean, really, the possibilities are limitless. I mean, your imagination in reality, you can have your imagination go crazy. We have customers approaching us and telling us, look, we want a metaverse presence, but we want to do something that has never been done before. Give us a solution. Or there are different customers that come and they have a very clear idea of what they want to do. So we have both worlds, and especially it's very new technology. So the metaverse is very wide in terms of the concept and in terms of capabilities and use cases. And often there is a long process of helping our customers understand the potential of the metaverse or of metaverse applications. Because they might have a very clear-cut idea of what they want to do, but just because they don't understand what more they can do. And for them, let's say a metaverse is a presence, and it ends here. So it's a marketing scheme.
Yeah.
But I mean, the possibilities are really...
Can actually do some kind of benefit and solve problems.
And solve problems. So, I mean, this gives you kind of an indication of where we are, what we are. Where we are in our stage, in our world, and what we're able to visualize.
Let's talk about, you mentioned the investment. Somebody invested in you and planning for other rounds.
So, I mean, we've been established in terms of licensing for 1 year. We were prototyping, understanding while we license, okay, our technology, our vision, or our idea of a metaverse, can it be, is it realistic? As soon as we understood that it is realistic, we went through an accelerator program, Flat 6 Labs in Abu Dhabi, which is a subsidiary of ADQ. Let's say their LPs are ADQ. And they invested in us, a small ticket, but nevertheless. And that was back in November or December. So about 6 months ago,
and you started?
4 months ago. So that's when we really started. Since that time, I mean, we've built our version one. We've gained our first few clients as well. The product isn't released yet in terms of our product delivery to our clients. We're currently building it. We should be released in the next month or two, let's say. So, I mean, it's been quite a challenging, interesting, and fast-paced couple of months, let's say.
Okay, so you don't feel that interest in Metaverse faded?
Oh, no.
The companies, the agencies that... into it, they like full-fledged, full power.
Full-fledged, full power. The government's interest, the large corporate's interest is actually only growing. It's not going down, despite the fact, as we said, that the hype is disappearing.
Yes. But you don't care about consumer, maybe hype or...
So we care about touching the bottom lines of businesses, corporates, governments, and for them to be able to really see how they can benefit from it, other than the marketed presence that we've spoken about, let's say. During this 3-4 month journey, so we started building our team. I mean, how did we manage to, like anybody would ask himself, how did we manage to build our version one in a couple of months or 3-4 months? How did we manage to gain our clients in such a short period of time? So our team, as I mentioned, through our tech co-founders, so the majority of our team now are tech guys based everywhere around the world. So we hired university researchers in 3D graphics and 3D modeling, university researchers in terms of back-end engineering for the engine part. So this allowed us really to optimize our technical skills.
This is all investment money goes to hiring.
Exactly. The other part that was quite interesting is the government initiatives helped us a lot gain clients. I do not want to mention now the clients, but we got our first client, a government client, thanks to Hub71 and the initiatives that the government are running. And our vision, I mean, we have a very ambitious vision. So we have kind of a 3-4 phased approach, depending on how you want to look at it. So today we're kind of in the mix of, we're in our phase one, let's say, where we saw that there is a lack of adoption of the metaverse in the region. To tackle those business use cases, we're looking into large corporates and government entities, which usually are aligned with us in terms of they want to have a metaverse presence. Most of the time, they do not know what they want to achieve with this metaverse presence.
Or what's possible.
So that's where we come in. We're reducing one of the friction points, which is the cost, because we're a metaverse as a service. So we're the engine. We build the hard part of a metaverse existence for other companies to leverage our engine to get their presence. And our phase two, so once you onboard, our target is once you onboard at least 10 to 15 large corporates or client entities, we'll be creating our open world based on somewhat the demo that you have seen. Our goal in this open world is to connect companies together. So we'll have created kind of our ecosystem with the large corporates and government entities. And
so we will have a land kind of?
It's not a land, it's they will have their presence. And you'll be able to access either directly or through different portals through their worlds if they want to be showcased in this world.
Okay. Can you give names?
For example, one telecom company, Omantel, that we're currently building for, imagine they would have a presence in their metaverse. Imagine any government entity that would have their presence in the metaverse. Imagine a bank that would have its presence in the metaverse. So they would have separate presences. So the bank will have his own world, its own world on their own website. A telecom company would have its own world on its own hosting environment. A government entity, the same. But then we can connect them all together.
Sorry, so it's like, for example, now, sometimes when I'm accessing any services or institution, like, oh, do they have WhatsApp support? Like, can I get answers? Can I solve my problem through WhatsApp?
Yeah.
So is it going to be something, oh, do they have a metaverse that I can...
Yes and no, because do they have a WhatsApp? So normally you're already on their site and trying to connect with some of their agents through WhatsApp to solve the problem. And the metaverse, or our vision of it, is you would be actually having the support in front of you. So you wouldn't need to talk to somebody on WhatsApp, because you'll be able to talk to somebody on their site, on their world, on their immersive technology. Third vision, or our third phase, is where we want to target the larger population, let's say, in terms of businesses. So we want to be able to provide templates for customers to, let's say you want to run a video studio.
Yeah.
A video studio, most video studios, what you need in a video studio is more or less common everywhere. So you'll be able to create your virtual video studio with a click of a button, basically. And you'll be able to connect it to the whole ecosystem of the other corporates that are out there. What's the advantage, you might ask? So as a video studio, you sometimes need permits to shoot a video.
Okay, somewhere. Yeah.
So you'd be able to immediately connect within the metaverse, the world, let's say.
So I can see you as a building.
What we showed is a coffee shop. Yeah. But basically, you would be able to interact in anything in the coffee shop. So you can imagine entering in a world through a portal, let's say. You would have, I don't know, let's say you press on those interactive planets. It can be something planets, else. Yeah. It can be, so, for example, creative or video shooting, exactly, or tourism. Or then maybe a portal might appear. I mean, really, you can be really creative. We still are not set into how the visuals will look. We're kind of, we have a very clear idea on what we want to achieve ultimately.
Okay.
So, I mean, ultimately it's democratizing, if you want, the metaverse. We don't want to make it hard for people to enter. We don't want cost to be a burden for people to use such technologies. And this ultimately will increase adoption. So if you want, our ultimate goal is increasing adoption of the metaverse or emerging tech in the region mainly. And afterwards, of course, growing up outside of the region. Interesting points that we've been hearing from a lot of our clients and investors, or potential investors and current investors. The sentence that we hear, it's so refreshing to see a deep tech company coming out of this region. And you were asking me, do we have any competition here?
Yeah.
We have competition from outside, but not real competition. I mean, it's competition of a metaverse, because the word metaverse is so vast.
Yeah.
But what we are targeting to be is the first deep tech company from the GCC and the first deep tech metaverse as a service company globally as well.
So deep tech, what does it stand for?
So deep tech, so we are building the infrastructure for the metaverse.
Okay.
We're not leveraging somebody else's technology to create the metaverse presence. So that's what I really mean by deep tech.
Got it, yeah.
So the infrastructure, if you want. The backbone or the foundation of the metaverse.
Yeah.
Or virtual presence or immersive experience, however you want to call it. Yeah, so that's kind of our vision. Another aspect is a project that we're pushing for, that we are building for in the region, is one of the tourist department in the GCC. So what they wanted to figure out is how to utilize emerging tech to attract more tourists to their country, and how to use this technology to engage more with the tourists while they're in their country, and to have their population be more proactive and engage more with the tourists as well.
Yeah.
So we had a very creative approach. So there's, if you notice in this project, there's multiple aspects. So if we start with the most basic and most, not basic, but the most common aspect is the digital twins. So every country has certain attractions or certain high-level traffic touristic areas.
Landmarks.
Landmarks, a museum, a nice building. We can recreate it digitally and have... So I'll give you the example of a museum. You might say, okay, why would I go to a virtual museum if I can go to this museum physically? Number one... exhibitions are limitless in terms of are not time bound and are not geographically bound. So you can literally, if an exhibition or a certain event has interest from the people, you can virtually run
it
forever.
Yeah.
People can access it from wherever they are. You can gamify experiences. So imagine you're going to a museum seeing a painting. You want to learn about this painting. Usually you need to read about this painting. Well, imagine you're able to run through certain games or quests or activities that will ultimately guide you or take you through the journey of how this painting was made, what's the idea of the artist that painted this painting, or you can even immerse yourself and go into this painting.
Go into the picture, yeah.
Exactly, and imagine the world how the painter imagined it. So that's in terms of the digital twins.
The digital twin meaning itself, what does it mean?
It's a digital representation of reality.
It's like copy or does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as it has some similarities.
Digital now, to a presentation?
So it really depends on the industry. So if you talk about digital twins in terms of real estate development, a very realistic representation or a copy of reality is essential. So you as an investor, let's say you want to buy or invest in a new property, off-plan property. So you only have today access catalogs, brochures, maybe some videos on maybe a 3D model map of how it looks like. But you cannot understand how your feelings would be, how walking around this place would be. So imagine you're creating a digital twin where you're able to walk around, experience the light, the sound.
Feel the space.
Soon you'll be able to have the smell that is... We don't have that yet, but soon it'll be there. Take it a step further on the metaverse. Is imagine you're able to walk there with a real estate agent, a real one or an AI-driven one, as we were talking a lot about AI, that would be able to explain to you about the different features, the different spaces. And you'll be able to close the deal on the metaverse or put a deposit on the metaverse. Through our discussions, actually, we know that developers will have a lot of interest on that because they will save a lot of cost on in terms of fees that they would pay to promote their developments.
You know, like in game, you can, while you play the game and then you, I don't know, click tab and there is a map where it shows where are you or where you can go.
Yeah.
So
I mean, look, in terms of us, the three co-founders were very avid gamers. A lot of our experience are built on games because games are usually visually appealing and you want to create a visually appealing UI for your end user, even on a business side of things. And games know how to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of synergies out there with the gaming functions and the business functions.
I want to talk with you about, I don't know, your business challenges right now. Is it education? Is it adoption? What is it biggest challenges right now?
So when we will want to scale, our biggest challenge would be education, I guess, first. So the word metaverse has so much negative connotation. I mean, with everything that's happening now around the world with Facebook Meta having being on the news everywhere, with AI and people saying, okay, was the metaverse just a hype or is that the graveyard of the metaverse? We look at it as we need to educate our customers. The best way to educate customers is to showcase use cases. How can they benefit? What are the projects that we're working on? What are the benefits that they will gain from today?
What kind of problems
from,
are you going to solve?
From such technology and what problems it will solve today. Not selling something that's going to happen 10 years down the line. Because technology will evolve. Things will change. Things will improve. But we're building for today.
Mm-hmm.
We're not building only for the future.
You also mentioned about VR sets that in some way it limits adoption of technology.
Look,
what's your thought for VR sets?
So we look as hardware as a means to access a certain environment or a certain technology. Today, not many people have VR headsets. It's still new. It's still not there. VR is key to the metaverse in a sense that VR still will give you the most immersive experience out there. A 2D screen might give you some kind of dynamic, interactive, engaging, but not a truly immersive experience. The fact of being able to walk around, to visualize, And now they have also the VR treadmills that are coming out. So you'll be literally be able to walk around everywhere. You'll be able to, they have the haptic gloves that are coming out. So you'll be able to virtually hold something and feel and as feel if it, you're holding something. You have the haptic vests that are out there. So imagine you're playing Call of Duty and you get shot, you'd be able to feel that you're getting shot. VR is here to stay, my opinion. And it's through the adoption of business use cases that VR will grow with the metaverse.
Yeah, I think I was reading about BMW manufacturing.
Yeah.
Manufacturers.
So like basically BMW, so that's kind of a link between digital twins as well. And the application of digital twins to manufacturing and supply chain.
Yeah.
So they're able to...
It's in metaverse. They created their own metaverse.
Their own metaverse.
Own factory.
So which is a replica of the real factory. So they're able to identify bottlenecks, improvements on workflow and the lines of their operations, able to run simulations, visual simulations on
stress tests,
certain situations, demand increases, what happens, and able to visualize it in real life through the metaverse.
But they did it. It happened.
Oh, it's going on. They're already running it.
Yeah.
BMW and another factory, I think Mercedes as well, are doing that. The metaverse is not new. So contrary to popular belief, I mean, now it's probably cliche. I don't know if everybody knows that. But the term metaverse was actually coined in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
There was a book called Snow Crash. And that was when the word metaverse came up and the idea of this whole metaverse. But in terms, now to jump to the business use cases, large corporates such as, Boeing, Airbus, have been using some kind of metaverse technology for the past 20, 30 plus years.
For training?
For simulation, for engineering. But what's the difference is... their platforms cost millions of dollars to deploy. So it's not accessible. Mm-hmm. It's not accessible to the majority of businesses out there. But the concept of using virtual reality to accomplish something is not new.
Yeah.
Even in the gaming environment, we were talking about MMORPGs such as, Final Fantasy 14, World of Warcraft. Those are actually as well metaverses. They have their own economy. They have their own social ecosystem out there. It's not Web3. And Web3 is not metaverse as well. Because over here in the region, there's a lot of
misconception,
exactly, that, okay, metaverse means Web3. But Web3 in reality is only the decentralization of the internet. Web3 can be part of a metaverse ecosystem. The way we see, so we were saying, the metaverse basically... in a way, allows all those emerging tech to connect. And as I mentioned for us, and this is critical, the metaverse is there to enhance our daily lives by the use of technology, by the use of those emerging technology, and it allows us to connect to those technologies.
How do you think, well, let's talk about kind of closing part as well, this Dubai metaverse strategy. How do you see that in the future, and how do you see as your company being part of it?
I think we're at the right place, right time, or perfect place, perfect time, let's say. Dubai or the UAE as a whole, but particularly Dubai, let's say, with their 2030 vision and their metaverse strategy, they're very forward-looking.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand. So they have now a Ministry of AI. They're soon, I believe, will have a Ministry of Metaverse as well. They have accelerator programs for the Metaverse. They have a future fund based on the Dubai Future Foundation.
Yeah.
They understand that this technology is critical for the future, and they want to be the first to implement within their ecosystem, within the government applications, such
and they technology. See that it's going to increase economical growth as well?
Dubai is gearing to be a service center for the whole world. And that, I believe, is the backbone of Dubai. They want to be pioneers in such technology, and they understand that this is an emerging technology. So now is the time for them to invest in talent, to invest in know-hows, to be at the forefront of this technology revolution.
Pioneers, basically.
Yeah, to be pioneers.
And support companies like...
Support companies. I mean, look, we're established in DIFC, the Innovation Hub. We're doing the interview in the Innovation Hub event space. They're very supportive. They're running, I mean, events on a weekly basis, maybe twice or three times a week, allowing startups to network with, I mean, very prominent people.
Yeah.
And that's the way to grow. That's the way to grow. Okay. So the future is bright. I mean, for Dubai or for the region, for the metaverse, for tech in general, the future is very, very positive.
And Shafran's in the right place.
Yeah, hopefully that's what we aim for.
Okay. Well, nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan.
Yeah, it was nice talking with you.
Very nice. Always a pleasure. I mean, probably I spoke a lot, told a lot, but I mean, whenever I talk about the metaverse, is My head goes haywire, let's say.
It is what's happening when you're passionate about it.
Yeah,
I'm true. Looking forward to meet you in one of your metaverse worlds.
Of course. Hopefully soon you'll meet my AI.
And we can shake our hands as well over there.
Exactly.
All right, thanks. Honestly, I love these kind of conversations because it brings me or forces me to create different perspectives and understanding about specific technology or industry. I don't know, takeaway from today is, well, metaverse is not only about the gaming. It will be used in service industry, in tourism, or like mentioned example, BMW is actually using now. So it's not just a game already, people and big companies and brands utilizing it and getting benefits. So that's really, really nice to know and find out about it. By the way, if you want to try that demo world, try on demo.shafra.com. Check it out, walk, feel how it works, you know, how it feels. And explore this technology. In the meantime, guys, thank you for supporting us. Please do let me know, like, do you like this kind of content? Did you learn as well? Because my idea is to learn myself and then share this knowledge with you. And if you like it, let me know, like, share, comment, subscribe, and definitely recommend us what else we should interview. What other technologies are in UAE, in this industry, in this region, and we're gonna try to approach them. So for now, till the next time.